Welcome back to Movie Mental Breakdown, The Help 2011. Today's mood music is brought to you by Ray Charles. Hallelujah, I love her so.
Okay, so man, this movie is a lot. So just, you know, hold on to your butts.
Not your seat, your butts.
Okay. Yes. And so this movie chronicles the life mainly of seven women, and it's set in the early 1960s in the Deep South, Jackson, Mississippi specifically. And these women are in the throes of the civil rights movement. And at that time, that fight between trying to keep things the old way as well as transition over into a new way of life. You have a young woman who has recently come back from college, who is full of life and that thirst and likely in some more liberal spaces. Mm-hmm. So she is trying to, you know, kind of put her little liberal stamp on the Deep South. And you know, it doesn't go over so well over the course of the film. She eventually says that she wants to write from the perspective of the help or the maids of that town. And she is able to eventually rally some of the women together to be able to write her story. And of course, our own story as well. Mm-hmm. And then we see how revealing some of these secrets and showing the dynamics in this town really kind of unearth a deeper level of hatred, animosity, and pain than what she originally thought was there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get our characters out of the way so we know when we say these names, y'all know who we talking about. So we have Skeeter or Eugenia. She's called a couple things in the film. Is played by Emma Stone. Abby or Abilene is played by Viola Davis. Minnie is played by Octavia Spencer. Hilly Holbrook is played by Bryce Dallas Howard. Her mother is played by Miss Waters, is played by Sissy Spacek. Skeeter's mother, Charlotte, is played by Allison Janae. And Miss Celia Foot is played by Jessica Chastain. And then, of course, everybody's little babies, Mae Mobley, is played by the twins Eleanor and Emma Henry. Okay, so I think the setting of this movie being in the 60s and watching this in 2011 at the time was difficult, but I think rewatching it in this year it gave me a different perspective than when I watched it the first couple of times. One, I'm a little bit older and a little bit wiser, you know,
had a little bit more experience.
Yeah, from 12 years ago. But, you know, it definitely was much more difficult to watch this film today and how seeing how some of those women reacted to one another and how some of the women acted towards each other, you know, the cattiness, the bitterness, you know, a lot of the underbiting,
backstabbing,
all of that stuff. You know, I think it really gave a key into what life really could have been like in the 1960s during the civil rights movement.
Yeah, it was hard to see it. I think I've always been sensitive, but I think I've gotten more sensitive. I'm just like, but you don't have to treat them like that. Or you already know when they was treating Mae Mobley like that, I was like, oh, just love the baby. She just want to be loved on. That's regardless of, you know, her weight or anything like that. So the fact that we're getting to see the perspective of the Black women, getting to see the perspective of the white women and the nuances of the relationship, like that's a peek into a life that we would have never been able to witness. I have read the book, and this is one of the few movies that is pretty spot on with the book.
That's okay. Good to know.
I think this time when I watched it, you know, I've always been one of the, I wanted to be an attorney. So, excuse me. So when I saw it the first time, I think it made me angry. This time it made me, because I still see some of these same things happening now. It was like, oh man, I should have became an attorney, but I probably would have been unalive because I would probably be advocating too hard. Like, you know, 'cause I don't like seeing people treated unfairly for no reason.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, even with the start of the movie, when Aibeline is kind of outlining her day and like how much money she makes and how hard she works and all of the things that she does,
I was like, how in the world are you making it? You got a whole house.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know, and I like how the film kind of starts off with a cut scene from a, you know, a later portion of the movie where Skeeter asks AB, you know, how do you feel raising white children while your children are at home being taken care of by somebody else? And, you know, I couldn't even imagine having to answer a question like that, like the level of guilt that I might feel, pain, sorrow,
especially her.
Yeah.
Because her baby, even though he was an adult at the time of it, he is no longer alive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. Yeah, and I think just the level of insecurity she felt because she couldn't be the I'm assuming couldn't be the mother that she wanted to be for her son, that she was being to these white babies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Even though she loved them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she, you can tell she loved Mae Mobley as well as whoever came before Mae Mobley, but it is a very difficult thing to have to take care of someone else's kids more intensely than you get to take care of yours.
And you're not even respected for taking care of these kids.
Yeah, you're appreciated barely.
But you can't even use the same, the restroom in the house.
Yeah, and I think this is a throwback to our previous sessions talking about the Karen, right? So like some of the ways these women in particularly Hilly really is a throwback to that idea of like pure, almost on her part, disgust for the people that she needs to help take care of her life.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me think about that scene where she's putting the dots on the toilet paper.
Yes.
And I'm like, you're like, you don't even see that you will not allow this other person human decency to use the restroom.
She's neurotic.
Yeah.
Like that level of nitpicking, like you have to think about how that eats away at the mind. That is so unhealthy
on her end and on Minnie's end, because when I was watching it, I was disgusted at the fact that you putting dot. First of all, you put your fingers on tissue that you think I'm getting ready to use. Y'all know how particular I don't put your fingers on stuff I got to put on her, her down there. She don't like She's everything. Sensitive. Right.
I would agree, though. You know, and I agree. It is about, you know, there's a level of neuroticism and convincing that you have to do for yourself to make you believe that doing this, that there's some rhyme or reason behind me doing this.
Yeah.
Like you really, and the thing about it is, where did you get that from? Because now, granted, Miss Walters could have grown out of that or whatever, but Miss Walters didn't seem to have a care. And go use the restroom, Minnie.
No, because remember, Minnie is Miss Walters' maid, and because she got elderly, she needed, you know, she needed a little help.
Yeah.
Her daughter took her essentially to get the best cook. So I think in this situation, Hilly is a bad apple. Now, I'm not going to say that that's the norm, but she is a bad apple because it doesn't seem like she was like that. It doesn't seem her mother, and it doesn't seem like her father was like that. I think this is a case of you gave too much to this child and there's no boundaries. There's no limits.
Oh, yeah. She developed an overwhelming sense of entitlement and superiority. Like, not, that's why for her, I'm like, it's not this just that you feel entitled to things, but you, there's a an unhealthy level of better than that comes along with her. And towards not even, everybody. Yes. You, like when I say you took the words out of my mouth, you walked right in there. Because it was not just towards the Black women in the film. It was towards everyone.
But see, she also had the only child syndrome. And the only child syndrome, I mean, they usually get everything because they're the only child that's there and they don't have to split that money or time or attention with anyone else because it's just them.
Yeah. I think the only person that Hilly treated well were her children. Because she was did talking crazy to her husband on a consistent basis.
She was.
But her children, her own flesh and blood, were the only ones that I saw her be caring towards.
Oh yeah, because she was holding that boy and I was like, he
looked like he's 6 years old.
Yeah, why I was like, you hold, and you hip holding him too. I was like, okay.
With heels on.
Yeah. Yes. But I think this again is another throwback to our Karen episode where we talk about the people in their lives are, you know, they bow down and cower to their wants, their needs, their demands. And you can see that many times throughout the film. The fact that the Lee Foltz, the husband said, we don't follow what the Holbrooks say, but still went ahead and put the bathroom in their house. Even after he came home, had an argument with his wife about not doing it, you still did it anyway.
Yeah. Well, and that's an example of how white women can use their tears, their manipulation, their vindictiveness behavior to get what it is that they want, because he still went against what he wanted to do. Yeah. And the thing about it is, I think she went against what she wanted to do because she really wasn't on board with getting a separate bathroom.
No, she actually really liked
her
maid and nanny. Like she, it seemed she truly cared for her, but she, like we talked in one of the previous sessions, she had to turn herself in to a Karen in order to fit into this group.
Yeah.
A very tight knit, small group of people.
Well, again, bullies.
And this is where groupthink comes from. You know,
like 101.
Yes. And so for your little psych 101 on groupthink, you know, this is where, you know, it becomes a hive mind. So, you know, we all think the same, we all behave the same, and we move as one unit. And nobody is able to stand outside of that. So, you know, Elizabeth has to think about, if I go against Hilly, and, you know, for the movie, it'll make you think there's only 60 people in this town. But, you know, but if I go against Hilly, then that could be social
pariah
deletion.
Yes.
Edit.
For me. You know, we will be ostracized, we will be shunned, and we will not be able to make it in this town because she holds so much power. And not only that, she actually has status, like actual roles in this town. Not just everybody likes her or respects her or fears her. She has roles, you know, positions. And if I go against that, then my husband's job may be threatened. I mean, there's so many things that you have to contend with that I agree with you. She would have to kind of bite that and turn it inward and say, well, I just got to do what I got to do to keep my family in good social standing.
Yeah.
And you can tell that this sort of thing has been going on since they've been in childhood, because at least for Elizabeth, Skeeter, and Hilly, they are best friends. It seems like one girl may have been in the group too once Skeeter left. But as soon as she came back, she kind of got moved over. And she's trained them very well, except for Skeeter, the wild redhead.
But I think because Skeeter went off to school, but I lived a different life for a while.
Yeah, but I still think, in my opinion, Skeeter still was skating on thin ice for me, because she still, I know she tried to speak up. And, you know, it still was kind of coming back at her. But my thing is, like, you should, you can't do everything by yourself, but you could have left the table when they was playing cards. You could have left the table and not entertained the conversation, because if you, since you stayed, then you are part of it.
I think Skeeter was essentially a Becky.
at that time
for a little bit of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then it was like she took the time to be aware, because I think she had such a great connection with her nanny and her nanny's daughter and things like that. It allowed her to have a level of kindness and love from a child's perspective versus these weird social norms that we come up with.
Yeah. And I think going away and being around other people, you know, I think her having that relationship and, you know, not living at home for 4 years. So you weren't, even though she went to Ole Miss, so she still was in the Deep South. But, you know, Ole Miss is a large university, you know, in comparison to Jackson, you know, Mississippi. So I think her getting away, being exposed to some different types of individuals kind of helped plant the seed. It hadn't been watered and sprouted yet, but it was there.
And I think with her having the experience of going away, she wasn't afraid to say it. Because she know that she can survive outside of Jackson. Like that's not her life. She hadn't gotten married yet. She doesn't have any children there. So nothing is tying her there except for her parents.
And I think her seeing how Hilly and the other women were talking about these and these women as if they're not even there. You know, saying that we have different diseases than they do. Like just hearing that, you know that that just hearing it is like, what?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't even make no sense.
Yeah. You could see the disgust in her head. Like, what are you talking about?
Because it's not scientifically proven. That's why sometimes, people, you still need to have some form of education. It don't have to be, I went to a university, but you need to have some form of education because you're just out here ignorant.
Because right now, education is free. You can Google anything.
Make sure it's from a credible source, though.
You know, so we, of course, at some point in the, you know, kind of early to mid portion of the film, Skeeter asks AB if she would be willing to be a part of her book. That she wants to write from the perspective of the help. And I think this is where, for me, in my notes, I wrote where she's kind of in that Becky stage, because she was completely unaware of the danger that she was potentially putting these women into by even speaking to her, let alone writing the book.
She had to get permission from Lee Foltz to even ask her questions for the column.
And, you know, that kind of unawareness that you could have a person lose their life just by asking questions, you know, I definitely don't think that she was coming at it from a hurtful place. But that level of unawareness is hurtful,
because you think that everybody can operate in the world like you.
And nobody. But you. Or people similar to you can, you don't even get to operate in the world fully because you're not dressed right. Your hair is not done correctly. You're not married. You don't have kids. You're not following the protocols that society is telling you you should be doing at this time.
You know, and I like that AB was able to kind of give her that real perspective initially. Like, hey, like, you need to be a little bit more aware of what you asking me to do, and you're not really understanding and investing in why this is a dangerous thing. But I also like that, you know, when she was at the church and she was getting the word, and it just so happened that the word was about courage and bravery.
That always is. You get a word from the Lord.
And she did, because it was speaking straight him. That she now sees the importance of what Skeeter is asking.
Because didn't Skeeter go and do some research? After she told her the implications of what she...
She got the book. Then, of course, Hilly and her nosy, but now you know you're not supposed to be reading this. And my mind was, ma'am, a white man wrote the book.
And she went to the legislature and got it. It wasn't like she purchased it at a bookstore.
Like, you can get in trouble. Shouldn't I know these?
And that's what I could appreciate about Skeeter. She did go and do her own research. She did not rely on AB to inform her
and
Or anybody else to inform her and enlighten her on what she should and should not be doing.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, AB says yes. And they start doing their stories. But the thing that I loved was when AB was like, no, I want to tell my story to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not just you ask me a bunch of questions and I just fill in the blanks for you. Like, mm-hmm. if you really want to hear the real, then you need to really hear it. And you need to hear it from the perspective of what's going on in my head and in my heart. Mm-hmm. And you can take that story and you can essentially be my ghostwriter, mm-hmm. basically. Because, mm-hmm. you know, who's going to listen to this story if I write it? Mm-hmm. And it makes me think about a lot of like Black artists during that time who, you know, put out a lot of music. But when you see the album cover, that's not mm-hmm. who's on the album cover. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. So she, of course, says yes. And they start their writings and things. And Minnie eventually gets on board.
Mm-hmm. The night that Minnie came over there. Yeah, that
like
was
a tornado.
Her. Yes.
The sass.
Uh-huh.
Because she was a sass mouth and something.
According to Hilly.
According to Hilly.
According to herself, too.
Right. But this is what happens when you are out of options. You know, because by the time she said yes to doing it, Hilly had already gone around the town and said, like, this woman is not hireable. So you've put, I mean, essentially, you could have put this woman in a position where her and her family become homeless.
Yeah.
Or have to completely pick up and move somewhere else because of the opportunities are no longer available here.
Her daughter already had to drop out of school. So mm-hmm. she could work to supplement. Yeah. To supplement the income. Mm-hmm.
And she had a lot of kids. You can tell that Minnie, even though she is reacting to her environment and what her norms are, that she was actually a very traditional woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now she with the wrong man. We'll talk about that next month. But yeah.
Absolutely.
So just to give you a little bit of backstory about that, Minnie, you remember we told y'all that Hilly was putting the dots on the toilet paper and she didn't want Minnie to use the main restroom. So it was raining outside. And Minnie couldn't, I mean, it was raining really hard. So it was a tornado four.
Mm-hmm.
And so she didn't want to go to her bathroom.
Outhouse.
Yeah. And she had to use the restroom. So she excused herself from in there with them. She went to the restroom. Hilly found out she was using the restroom. She got fired. So then Minnie.
She concocted a plan.
Yes. And brought the best pie to Hilly that she could.
But it was full of something else.
Sugar, honey, iced tea.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And while I don't condone you feeding people, you know, human waste, boy, did it felt good watching Hilly.
Ooh, and the child. Way she was eating
it. She was eating it like,
oh my God, what do you put in this to make it taste so good? Yeah. I was like, and your teeth is just black.
Yeah. I was just like, oh.
Uh-huh. Like.
Because I was like, baby, she did the chocolate on you.
Yeah,
you see how mama was trying to get a piece and Minnie was like, that's not for you. This is for Miss Hilly.
Mm-hmm. She was like, oh, mm-mm.
Y'all, when I say the laughter that came out of myself.
Yes.
When that mama.
You know, I'm so appreciative of Sissy Spacek playing someone who was battling like dementia and mm-hmm. different things like that, because she showed the humorous side of that. You know, mm-hmm. it is a rough thing to go through that for the individual as well as the family to be the caregiver. But I absolutely. Do appreciate that they also show the funny parts, because as someone who has taken care of somebody mm-hmm. who had dementia in their later part of life, the stuff that be coming out their mouth, you'd be like, Paw, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she said, I can remember two things. I may not remember what year it is or where I'm at, but I can remember two things. You put me in a nursing home and you ate Minnie's.
Shh. Oh, that was hilarious. That was hilarious.
Mm. Baby, she ain't gonna never live that down.
No.
Never. She gonna be in, about to take her last breath. Hilly, you remember when you ate that pie?
Two slices.
Big slices. Because she was eating. I said, ma'am, did you have dinner?
She was tearing it up. Oh, my God.
I said, I would never eat a chocolate pie ever.
Just because of that. For that movie.
Yes.
I've never had one.
Me neither.
But I will never eat one.
Nope.
Agree. You know, and the other thing in this movie that kind of threw me off was like this dichotomy of like they have these little meetings, like their bridge club or whatnot, and like trying to do all these little fundraisers and stuff. And they're like, save the African children. And I'm like, you don't even like.
I say, you know, those are African children. They just grew up here.
Y'all, I had to rewind it because I was like, okay, no, I did not hear this correct. I rewind and I said, no, I did not just hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
save the African children.
When I saw that part, I was like, if y'all been saving the African children for as long as y'all been saving the African children, why they not saved yet?
Because y'all don't know what saving means. Mm-mm.
No, what or y'all don't know how to do it was y'all sent a group of people from y'all church on a missionary trip. That's what happened. And you taught them your gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I noticed too is like, Mary Beth was so happy about this fundraiser that they accomplished. And I was like, but do y'all realize that this is cloaked with what looks like evil when we see your behavior?
Remember, Mary Beth is the fourth. So she's trying to
fit in,
gain that favor from, I was about to call a different name, Hilly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think she was so gung ho about it because she's like, okay, this is
my end,
my part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I agree with you, but I still think that's what Karens do. They think that they're doing this great thing and it's
helping them not be savages and barbaric, but they are the ones that are savage and barbaric.
Yeah.
Because there's been a consistent theme of who terrorizes who.
The fact that you think that you can will somebody to work for you or to work for someone else. I mean, just like the woman when they were telling the stories later on, she was like, she owned me.
Mm-hmm.
Like they thought they owned me.
Mm-hmm.
How you gonna write me into your will that I gotta go work for somebody? And then the mindset that I have to have to say, well, I'm gonna have to execute that because what other choice do I really have?
Because nobody else is gonna hire.
Everyone else around you believes that they own me.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not gonna hire me.
Not too terribly far away from slavery, but you know, we're only talking about maybe 100 years at this point. Or maybe
less than 1865
to 65
was
what year was
65?
It? 65 was it 65?
The civil rights era?
No,
I mean the movie.
Oh,
or was it the early or mid? Either way, right before, right at 100.
Right, yeah, okay. Right around 100, maybe somewhere in 85 to 100.
Yeah.
So you know, maybe two generations really. So the fact,
but
that
we still were in Jim Crow.
True. Very true. But the fact that you think that you can will another person to someone, like there's so much disgusting mindset. That's just, we can go on and on. But, you know, the other thing that kind of what I found very interesting was like some of the things that it took to get the other women on board with telling their stories.
Yeah.
You know, that they asked, I think they said 31 other maids if they would, you know, kind of come in. And it wasn't until the death of Medgar Evers that it was kind of like, oh no, we got to do something, because the way this is going, we can't keep on this same train of how we're living life. And you know, it really almost had like a little mini, you know, emotional moment when they found out about somebody had gotten shot. They didn't know who or who it was, but when they AB and the guy at the ice cream parlor
were on the bus.
They were on the bus, and then when they got off and started running, and when AB fell, that was the thing that like I was like, oh, hold on, wait a minute. Like it really kind of choked
me. You gotta get home.
Yeah.
Because you never know what's gonna happen. I think people have to realize just because things are changing, it doesn't mean that your life is going to be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's okay for change to occur for the betterment of the country, of the world.
Yeah.
It things typically don't work out well if you have one group that has all the benefit and another group that has very limited benefit.
Mm-hmm.
It does not work out for the society.
Mm-hmm.
So it was hard to watch this because also with what y'all said, but then turn around and then JFK died.
Mm-hmm.
And the stark difference in how it was received.
Yes, because Charlotte would not let them watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she let, well, they were sitting there watching JFK.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though the black people were still for JFK mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that was difficult. I think, not that this movie doesn't have many levels of realness, but for me as a black person, it gave it a different realness that I don't think has ever been depicted in another mm-hmm. film that talks about mm-hmm. this era, about that level of fear, but in a real understandable kind of way.
Yeah.
Not in this like global or very fantastical kind of way. Mm-hmm. Like, hold on, like, wait, which way you going? Like, how are you getting home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would liken it to the closest thing that we've come to is the amount of things that have happened with police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we worked in a different environment and still having to be around all of that
mm-hmm.
Type of situations. Luckily, that's not where we work. Mm-hmm. But trying to still put on a happy face and still serve different people and mm-hmm. things like that versus you come here. All of our clients are talking about it and trying to figure out how to process this or process that. And it's a safe space. But there were very few safe spaces in that time.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, because Abby went to Minnie's house.
Mm-hmm.
And that was her. I mean, I'm assuming they were each other's safe space.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. as soon as she walked in, Abby asked Minnie, are you okay? She said, are you okay? Sit down.
Yeah. And she started taking care of her wounds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cause yeah. I was watching this. I said, that looked like Viola Davis fell for real.
Mm-hmm. She might have.
Yeah. That didn't look like that was like an actor kind of fall. Mm-hmm. Like that looked like she was running and she fell and they just kind of kept it in there.
In that scene though, what also stands out to me is how well Minnie knew how to take care of wounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, you for know, sure. Cause she did it immediately.
Yeah. Cause she was getting mollywopped on a regular.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much in this movie.
And that the part where, even though they started talking about everything in front of the kids, Minnie told her kids to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that she eventually took care of them as well.
Yeah.
So that they wouldn't be exposed to the conversation that she knew her and Amy was getting ready to have.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is around the time when you really start to see the shift, like for real in Skeeter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily just with AB and them, but with Hilly.
Yeah.
Cause one of the things that Hilly says to her is like, watch out because there really are some, you know, Rosses in this town. And then when she went up to her and was like, put my initiative in the newsletter. It was like you could see Skeeter and you could see Hilly. Like that friendship is like, it's doing this.
It's mm-hmm. done.
And because I was like, oh, you could just see like the change in her eyes, her tone, the facial features, like, I mean, expression. Like you could see like some switch has flipped for her.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? It makes me wonder if it was the conversation about the bathroom.
Mm. Well, yeah, the bathroom mm-hmm. as well as everything else that was going on in insensitive nature Hilly was handling. That's why she ended up with those toilets on her
mm-hmm.
lawn.
Mm-hmm. She was getting it in subtly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And not so subtly.
She was playing the game.
People was giving it to her in this movie. I will give
Yeah.
In various ways, but they were giving
and it
to
all him. Had to do with excrement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Look at the symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, a character that we haven't really kind of talked about yet, but because, you know, Hilly has gotten Minnie or she fired Minnie, and she's not able to really get a job anywhere else. We have a character who is also an outcast as well.
Mm-hmm. So who is the same race as Hilly.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have Celia Foote, who seems to have married like the town sweetheart.
And
like
the richest person.
The richest person in the town. The man that everybody wanted, mm-hmm. especially Miss Hilly.
I was just going to say, did they date or something? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she acted up and he said, deuces.
And he went and married him a lady from Sugar Ditch.
A nice country woman.
Mm-hmm. Super country.
And so sweet.
They didn't know how to cook though.
But the people of Jackson pine would have cone.
Oh Lord, I love her. I love her. She's just such a sweet person.
Yeah, she really was. Loved. That's kind of what I wrote consistently throughout. That he, you know, we don't know much about Mr. Johnny, but he seems to have married a woman that's like literally the complete opposite of every woman in this town.
Mm-hmm. She needed it after Hilly.
Yes, mm-hmm. She's sweet. She seems fun. Now, she sometimes has a little bit too much fun, but she seems very genuine, down to earth, loving. And that mm-hmm. even shines through in her treatment towards Minnie.
It does.
Yeah. She's like, no, you're going to be my real friend.
Yeah.
You the only friend I got.
You're not just working for me.
Yeah. I appreciate the director of this film also giving a voice to the women that battle infertility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the struggle that that is, because it is something that is very much done in the dark. No one talks about it. And the fact that we see a physical representation of that with her healing, but also with the trees, or was it trees or was it rose bushes?
I think it was rose bushes.
Mm-hmm. Rose bushes that she's planted, and the fact that she felt like she couldn't share that with her husband, and the mm-hmm. shame. And I just appreciate that they did it with a level of dignity, but also it was real.
Yeah.
And also showing that when women experience these moments of infertility, that you need to take care of yourself. Because Miss mm-hmm. Minnie took care of Miss Silly mm-hmm. to like, okay, you're
going
to
be. She busted okay. the door down.
She busted the door yes. down to get to her.
And she needed to, because she might have died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because like she said, it's so much everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. That was one of the things that I consistently wrote about their dynamic. I loved the back and forth of nurturing
yes.
that they did to one another.
Yeah.
She like, baby, you can't cook a worth a lick except for that corn pone.
Mm-hmm.
But
I said, that just seemed like that's a little tough.
Little I couldn't even, you. I want to look it up and see what it is.
I mean, I imagine you grind it up like you grind anything else.
And she said,
else
I can do grits. I'm like, so all versions of corn, that's what
right.
you can do.
But I feel like corn pone, probably a little minty.
Ugh.
And I just don't want no minty grits in my mouth.
That's gross. But I loved that she wanted to learn from Minnie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was almost as if she saw her like a mother figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Minnie's very nurturing, yeah, just kind of yeah. in general. But she almost approached her like that, not just as a friend, but like, I respect you.
Yeah. And I like that she wanted to be in Minnie's presence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, you know, when Minnie mm-hmm. was trying to eat by herself and she can't, there you go. I was looking for you type mm-hmm. of thing.
She plays into her aloofness, but we realize that she is not aloof mm-hmm. at all. She's right. just very kind yeah. and very yeah. like jovial.
Mm-hmm.
I also like the fact that she spoke life into Minnie when she's like, I know what's going on with mm-hmm. you and your husband.
Right. She said, I know you didn't get that scar by falling in the tub or hitting your head on the tub or whatever
mm-hmm.
she said.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and I like that she gave her advice. If I was you, I would just hit him on the head with a frying pan.
And then I would tell him. I was like, you go ahead on, because you yes. like, I ain't putting up with no BS now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my husband, I'm scared that mine might leave me.
Yeah.
But what I'm not going to do is be putting up with no mess.
No.
Mm-hmm. And I like that she had that, even in that time, mm-hmm. to have that level of like self-awareness
yeah.
and self-respect
yeah.
to be able to be like, you know what? I'm not dealing with that. I can only imagine how difficult that was during a time where like getting divorced was not a thing.
Mm-mm.
It was rare. And you likely needed permission to be even able to do it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's early on.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I think another piece in this film that we haven't talked about yet is like the relationship between Skeeter and her mother.
Mm.
And how the idea of feeling less than, you know, your parent. So it sounds like Skeeter's mother was a very beautiful woman when she was younger. Mm-hmm.
Debutante.
Yeah. You know, people loved her. And Skeeter, they at least allude to that she's more homely, you know, more tomboyish, mm-hmm. and much more boisterous and not really seeking. Yeah. Seeking, you know, the feminine eye of a man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And but given that time, that's what you were supposed to
do. Yeah. That like, was your only option.
Yeah.
Even though like it really
you
wasn't.
To be getting married, find you a husband, you know, let's level up in these streets. And mm-hmm.
and that's the thing that I've heard about white women and their upbringing. Like they're taught to be a wife.
Mm, I've heard that too.
Mm-hmm. To their downfall.
Mm-hmm.
I think another part of their relationship that I'm glad was present is that it showed Skeeter holding her mother accountable
several times.
Yes.
All the time. You know, and her mother holding her accountable too, because there was some things she needed to work on herself mm-hmm. as well.
Absolutely.
But I appreciated that, and it made her mother face her shame.
Yes.
And I think that probably actually helped her in her cancer journey, because that stuff was eating her up.
I thought that too. Because one after she told her that story, that's when she started getting better.
Yeah, I
agree 100%.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that I did love about Skeeter's like no holds barred kind of attitude and like continue to push forward, and that she was not taking
no for an answer.
No, you gonna tell me what happened to mm-hmm. Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Skeeter, mm-hmm. she told her mama, she raised me.
Yeah. She taught me everything I know.
And she said she did you a favor.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was, you know, that situation was so sad to want that award so much that you would dismiss and degrade your friend, because you can tell they actually had a friendship,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And she didn't even do anything.
No.
It was her daughter.
Yeah.
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 You know, but they say guilt by association.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and unfortunately, it still holds truth today, but definitely in that time, being white meant more.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, Mama Skeeter had to live with that guilt because, you know, her maid and nanny didn't make it.
Mm-mm.
Not even to the next week. You know, she essentially died of a broken heart the way she was treated.
Girl, baby, when she
said that to her mama, I was
ooh,
like,
I felt that thing. I was like, oh my God.
He couldn't even get the words fully out.
Ooh, I think that's what got me, that when she couldn't even get the word out, I was like, ooh, I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that.
It's and her mama sad. Did too.
Mm-hmm.
She knew she had went, I think she already knew she had went too far, but the realization that now your daughter has become the teacher, and that happens in every mm-hmm. parent-child relationship, but when it's to something like that, that shouldn't ever happen.
And you kept it from her.
Yeah. You could have told her long time ago. You could have painted it however you wanted to paint it. But because
she didn't even know she was deceased.
Mm-hmm. No, she didn't.
She didn't even get to say goodbye.
Mm-mm. At all. And she knew. She was like, y'all are lying to me. I know y'all are.
She was getting ready to go to the woman. Mm-hmm. So she needs me.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even. You didn't even tell this woman that the woman who raised her
mm-hmm.
is no longer here.
It's nope. the equivalent of, you know, had things continue with Mae Mobley in mm-hmm. Abilene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how you not gonna, have you lost your mind?
Yeah.
It broke my heart. And of course, the incomparable Cicely Tyson played Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
It just broke my heart. I was mm-hmm. like, oh, get these tears together.
Girl, it had got me too. Cause then the mama, you know, yeah, I think when Skeeter told her she died of a broken heart, I think that again was the mama's like, oh, I done messed up. Mm-hmm. Not only did I mess up for my family, but I really messed up with my daughter.
Mm-hmm. She messed up quadruply. Mm-hmm. You messed up family as well as with your husband, with your daughter. You also messed up
with Rachel.
With Rachel. You messed up with Constantine.
And with you.
Yeah. Because this person meant something to you. She probably was similar to Elizabeth.
Like, she probably raised you. Yeah. Because Cicely Tyson
was old. Yeah. She wasn't a traditionally aged maid.
No. Mm-hmm. No. So she likely raised you from the time you were a child.
Mm-hmm. Or freshly married.
Yeah, because they did say that the...
Oh, they said she'd been working there 29 years in the film.
Oh, did she? Okay.
Yeah, so she had been with them 29 years. So probably since their children, her older child, the
son.
Right before they started having children.
Yeah.
Because I think Skeeter was 23, I think.
Oh, okay. Very like I said, very similar storyline to Elizabeth and Mae Mobley and all of them and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But that, you know... And I thought there was one part in that scene, it made me feel some kind of way when she was saying, like, we went up there to
bring her back.
No, she sent her son.
She sent her son up there and she said to bring her home. And I was like, how dare you say that after you excommunicated this woman?
You desecrated y'all's home. She been living with you. She got her own space, of course, her own house. But she obviously, because of the nature of the situation back in the day, spent way more time. Mm-hmm. And you said she's not, you literally said she's not welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And she was literally being dragged away by her own flesh and blood because it hurt her so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, that look back that she did into the house,
she didn't even want to go with her own child.
Cicely, from the grave. Don't you play not now another movie like this. Because, ma'am, you shouldn't have been as old as you were still having us in our feels.
Girl.
Yeah, she's almost to the day she died.
Mm-hmm. Amazing actress.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, how dare you say that you went up there after you pushed this woman almost literally, shut the door in her face, and then got the nerve to send, not even you, send your son up there.
You should have been the one going up there because you the one that did the damage.
This is one of those situations where I feel like had she been more aware and diligent, what she would have done is kept Constantine on in a mother of the house type of situation and hired a younger maid.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no reason why she should have still been doing
that level
dinner service.
Right. She couldn't even barely hold the bowl.
I can't hold the bowl. the way they would have been wearing all that food.
And that little bitty spoon. Mm. It was a tablespoon. Like, you going to get
a serving spoon?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
It was, that scene is just wild. You know, and again, peer pressure is a real thing.
It is.
So, you know, I'm not going to completely, annihilate the mother. In that, given the time, your options are limited.
And that lady was the president of whatever.
I think of the state or the region.
Daughters of the something.
Daughters of the something.
All I heard was Confederates.
Yeah, that could be true too.
Okay.
So I get it, from an outside perspective or like on a, meta level, I get it that you are in a situation where this is the milieu of the day, right? This is how we live our life, but we also got to keep things in context always. So we're looking at this time from, 2011/2023's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So, we can't sit here and say, well, what I would do.
Right.
Because we have no idea. We likely could have acted the same way because that would have been the dictation of the day.
Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you. It was a different time. So we wouldn't have been able to do anything.
Right,
are people of color.
I mean, we'd have been there with AB and Minnie and them.
Right. But. Right. So, but I do understand what you're saying. Like, it was a different time. So she gave in to the peer pressure and to what
her own desires.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to be whatever the regent or whatever she was appointed to. That's what she wanted to be.
Yeah.
So my own desires on top of peer pressure, led me to completely destroy a relationship with somebody that I, at least it make, they make it seem like she genuinely cherished.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. So just kind of wrapping up some, cause there's a whole lot of other things that we could say about this movie.
Yeah.
Cause there's so many pieces, but I think one of the like funny pieces was once the book kind of came out and all of the things, and there was that fear of, oh my gosh, what if they learned that it was us and how are we going to have like insurance against ourselves? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's really sad that even with the ghostwriting, the changing of the names, now some of the stuff was obvious, but
eating that good pie,
that good pie, and that scratch in the table.
Yeah.
Where'd the scratch from in the table come from?
Just showing that she, Elizabeth, did not have the money to have a new table.
Okay.
And she covered it up every time they came over for bridge.
Okay.
So, you know, I think there were some things in there that were very obvious that made it about Jackson. But I think they were absolutely correct in adding that piece in there about Hilly, because that's exactly what she did. She was going to make sure, no, this book is not about us.
Even though she still retaliated.
And
that was another scene that just broke my heart. That baby just screaming for her.
And first of all, the first she had just came down and she came to AB, said, "My throat is so AB." I
was like, oh, she didn't go to her mama.
Look, twins, y'all was acting. They were in this movie. Y'all better, I don't know what happened and why y'all not acting no more, but y'all better act.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
And with that little speech impairment they had, it was too cute. But yeah, like Mae Mobley didn't even go to her own mother. Like, she told AB, "You're my real mother."
She did.
Now, how in the world does like a 3-year-old have the wherewithal to tell another woman, "You're my real mother"? And I love what Viola, what AB said to Hilly at the end when she told her, like, "You a godless woman." Like, all you do is hurt and connive, and like your whole existence is about damaging other people. Like, aren't you tired? And don't forget, I know some things about you. And I was like, "Oh, baby, I wish I could know what them things are." Because it completely changed Hilly. So I was like, that means she knows some real stuff about you.
And knocked her off her pedestal that she had put herself on.
Yeah.
Because all this can come crumbling down with me.
Because paper is free in prison.
It reminds me of the same thing we experienced during COVID, how a lot of people kind of crap on food service and first responders and different things of that nature. Let them walk out.
Off subject, that's okay.
She's about to get passionate, y'all. She's about to get real passionate. But even all the way down to the end of the movie, Elizabeth still didn't have it in her to stand up against Hilly. Because you letting this woman come in your house and fire your maid.
Right.
And who you got
and
to
you
get?
Don't even, right. Because you don't even like taking care of your kids. And like, you don't even want to give your children affection.
Can we say postpartum depression? And you just forcing her to pop these babies out. Because it was not time yet for her to be pregnant again.
No. Because she didn't.
Most definitely.
She doesn't even. It doesn't. At least the way they make it seem. She doesn't even love Mae Mobley.
She doesn't.
She's irritated by her.
An image. This is the next steps in what I'm supposed to do. I think she definitely loves her husband. And they probably are a couple who needed to wait several years before they had children or none at all. Which that wouldn't have been socially acceptable. But no.
But kids. If you letting your child sleep in or lay there in a dirty diaper
from
all
5
night,
until probably 6-7 in the morning,
whatever time AB gets there, you don't need to have no more kids. Like, you should have got your tubes tied.
And she said that she had a rough pregnancy and that she, you know, struggled to get out of bed and struggled to do all that other kind of stuff, and Abilene was praying that this child would give her some sense of joy, and I'm like, she's not gonna have no joy. because she is struggling with postpartum depression. Yeah. Well, and it takes a while for mothers who mm-hmm, are having back-to-back mm-hmm. kids to be able to connect with any of the children, because you're yeah. steady in that cycle.
And it's going to take even longer because you don't know who you connecting to. You don't know who the children are connecting to because you're turning inward, because you're still trying to fit in socially with stuff that you may not even believe.
Yes. So true. Mm. And you could tell she didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because she wouldn't even talk.
And she was on the verge of tears. Like, she knew, like, oh my God, like, when this woman walks out this door,
what am I going
to
do?
It's always amazing yeah. to see in talking about Aibileen, someone who is the victim of something still have to protect everybody around them so mm-hmm. they don't have to suffer.
Yeah. Because the way she went over to Mae Mobley, oh man, it's so gut wrenching.
Yeah. He was smart. He was important.
I was like, I know I am. And, poor little Mae Mobley could barely get it out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for her, and you, I knew then, but with the first time I saw this film, I was like, yeah, this is it. She's not going to take care of no more kids. Mm-hmm. Like, she can't handle that
disappointment.
And that, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't, like, being ripped away from
the breaking.
Yeah. Like, I can't handle that anymore. I've already lost my own child
and 17 more
due to incompetence. Mm-hmm. And lack of true care and concern for his health and well-being, you know, and now I'm being ripped away from another child because of your own fear, because of your own bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Like, now, again, like, I got to be punished because of what you did. Mm-hmm. And now this child is going to be punished because of what you
Everybody.
Did.
Because don't nobody in that house work in the house, like work for the house.
Mm-hmm.
She don't know how to cook. She don't know how to mother. She's severely depressed. Yeah. Like, she gonna have to hurry up and hire one of the new maids.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that as she's walking out, she has to tell her, give her a chance. Like, mm-hmm. that was,
give my baby girl a chance.
Because she knew. You know, and as she's walking out, like, the realization, like, that little girl is doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they can get somebody else in that house that's just like me, and the odds of that are
slim enough.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, because she spoke life into that little girl
every day.
Constantly.
Yeah. Teaching her how to potty.
Yeah. Like, and the fact that before she left, she took the time to explain to her, she was like, don't leave. She said, I can't stay. And she, you know, spoke life into her again. Yeah. You just remember what I taught you. Like, that, that right there broke my heart.
Don't have me in here crying. My eyes is watering now.
I know. Just, I think out of, there's two scenes in this movie that really get me.
Mm-hmm.
It's this end part and the part when Skeeta tells her mama that you broke Constantine's heart. Them is the two.
And one more for me was when she told the story about her son.
Oh, yeah, that one's hard, too. Yeah, that one's real hard.
Mm-hmm. And, let's
see. Oh, yeah.
Oh, when she lost the baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a lot of hard scenes. Never mind.
The whole movie.
Whole movie. You know, there's a lot in here. So when we think about all the things, so diagnoses.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
what are some of the
narcissistic personality disorder?
Depression. Postpartum.
Mm-hmm. Postpartum.
Mm-hmm. Probably a touch of bipolar disorder.
PTSD.
Mm-hmm. Substance abuse.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of what else I saw.
I think it's some attachment stuff. Mae Mobley.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely Mae Mobley had some enuresis and things like that due to her environment, because it wasn't because she was unintelligent or not ready, but mm-hmm. you know, kids will continue to use the restroom on themselves when they need something or as mm-hmm. a defense. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's some of that in there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And this is not a diagnosis, but, you know, racism and bigotry.
I was going to say trauma.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's kind of like the broad thing going on in the movie.
Trauma, secondhand. Chronic. Complex,
mm-hmm. like
all of them.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking potentially like chronic pain, like the mom was sick.
Dementia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure there's other things, but those are the
big ones,
the top ones on my mind.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot. Mm. So, what do you think? You know, when you watch this film today, what do you guys feel was like? How did it impact you as an individual, like watching it today?
So I would say as a woman, as a Black woman, the women in that town only could be a housekeeper. Like that was their only means of income. Like, so for me, I would have felt like I wasn't growing, which I'm sure they probably did. I would have felt like I wasn't growing. And then to feel like I'm somebody's property, mm-hmm. like, of course, because I wasn't born in those days, of course, you know, me being able to grow up in this era, even though this ain't really no better, but growing up in this era, you know, it's like, at least I have somewhat of a decision of what I want to become. And it doesn't have to be just a one way street.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just, it's plenty of other things, but I'll just stop right there.
Gotcha. I think for me, number one was it inspired me to want to be a better woman. Because it reminds you of how much people went through for mm-hmm. you to be able to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. But it also gave me like more insight into the women who are in my family. You know, my folks are originally from Tennessee. So my grandmother did a lot of these things. You know, she may not have been necessarily a housekeeper, but she was in service oriented jobs where she was cooking for people and things like that. Mm-hmm. And my mom is still somebody who can adopt a kid. I'd be telling, if you pick up one more, you're getting a pat. but it just makes you appreciate, number one, what you have, and also the fact that we have to have boundaries as women and hold other women accountable
and hold each other up too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that is the impact that it had on me, was looking from the maid's perspective, like that sense of community, because they really did take care of each other.
Yeah.
And I think it reminded me about how individualized we've become and how we need to start going back to that sense of community mm-hmm. and taking care of one another. And how important it is to really have a good group of people around you mm-hmm. that can, you know, kind of, like you said, help lift you up, help support you, hold you accountable when you need to be held accountable. Mm-hmm. And like, just be your tribe. So I would say that's probably one of the bigger impacts that it had on me.
Mm-hmm.
This go around that it didn't have when I watched it the first time.
Me neither.
Yeah. First time, I think I was just mad.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Like, what the f- is this that I'm watching? What mm-hmm. is this mess? But then I think with older, more mature eyes, I truly did look from the perspective of the maids. I think the first time I watched this film, I looked from the perspective of like the white women and what they were doing
mm-hmm.
versus this time. I was like, okay, let me look at this film, you know, kind of bird's eye view. And I saw, you know,
something different.
Something different this time.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a new rating system, guys. You know, we've been struggling with this part when it comes to our rating for these movies. So we're going to do feathers since we got the peacock. If you can't see our little joint in the back right here. So we're going to do feathers. We're going to do out of five. And we're going to do our view overall of the film. And then we're going to tell y'all a little bit of reason why we rated it the way that we did. Okay. Who feel like starting?
Me. Okay. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I rate this film a 5.
Okay. Ooh, that's rare. LaFonia giving a 5. I mean, Dr. Jones giving a 5.
And the reason why is because I think they were able to tell the story without giving us the gory part of it. Ooh. And
that's good.
Rare.
Yeah. So I'm going to just leave it at that.
That's good. I give it a 5 as well. I love that it told the story from so many different perspectives mm-hmm. and didn't simply just focus on one individual mm-hmm. or two individuals throughout the film. And I like that it showed the different nuances that were likely present at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Y'all know me. I give it a 5. One of the main reasons is I am a person that thinks that periodically we do need these types of films to exist mm-hmm. as reminders of how far and how little we have gone. And I think this was a great representation of that, even though it is a lot of hard topics and things to process. They did it in a way that honored mm-hmm. those that have come before us, even the people who were the perpetrators, to be honest. They didn't villainize them. They gave them depths in things of that nature, instead of it just being this is an evil person. It was like, okay, this is why this person is like this. And we don't often get to see that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So we have a little announcement as well. We have a Disbroad this month. So we will be going live and we're going to be talking about a whole lot of things. So make sure y'all come by and chill with us. Get your libations. Talk about all the wild and interesting things that are going on in the world. You know, y'all know this is one where we get a chance to just kind of, you know, figuratively let our hair loose. Mm-hmm. So we really do enjoy those. So make sure y'all check us out. We got a new ending too, y'all. And scene.
Must be this volume control.
So, okay, interns, process your notes. Be sure to catch us next session and find us on all major platforms at The Recycled Podcast.
If you're a new intern, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and share.
Thanks for listening. And remember, we are shifting and reshaping our psyche through healing conversations and connections, one discussion at a time.